Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Has your electricity bill increased? Because there's more than 300,000 homes across the country now in arrears on their electricity bills. This is new figures from the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities. And Conor Pope is the Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times. Conor, that's a lot of people worried about keeping the lights on.
It is indeed. But before I go into that, Andrea, can I just say that as a former graduate of UCG, as it was known, and an arts graduate, I'm horrified by the news that they're planning to scrap the arts degrees. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah. I just wanted to put it out there that I am actually a graduate.
Right.
So there you go. But we back to where what I'm actually on the programme to talk about, which is this really upsetting figure of 320,000 people, or just under 320,000 people, who were struggling to pay their electricity bills last December. Now, according to the figures from the CRU, the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities, 14% of domestic electricity customers were in arrears, with the average value of an account in arrears put at around €466. Now, for some of your listeners, they listen to the figure €466 and they'll say, oh, that isn't that much. You could probably clear that handily enough. But for the people who are in arrears, €466 could be an absolutely enormous amount of money. Bear in mind that if you're on social welfare and you're getting €220 or whatever it might be a week, it's a huge amount of money. Or even if you're in a job and you're struggling to put food on the table and you're struggling to make all your ends meet, getting that extra £466 is a big ask for an awful lot of people. And I think, you know, a lot of people this morning have been pointing to the reasons why people are in arrears. And they're very, very simple, Andrea. I mean, it's really clear that the reasons behind it are still dramatically higher electricity bills now than in the past. I mean, we're kind of being fed this narrative in some respects that electricity bills have fallen and energy bills have fallen. So maybe the worst of the cost of living crisis that we experienced in the immediate aftermath of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, when energy prices went through the roof, that's past. And to some extent, there's truth to that. But the reality is, and I'll just, if you talk about it in broad brushstroke numbers here, like in 2020, 2021, the typical Irish household was spending around €2,000 a year on their energy. Okay. Right. At the height of the crisis, that number jumped to €4,000, in excess of €4,000. So a wildly dramatic leap in prices. But today, the average household is spending around €3,000 a year on their energy. So it's cheaper than it was, but it's still €1,000 a year more expensive than it was.
But also, the people might, and we all probably thought to some extent that there was some reduction in those bills that was purely masked by the electricity credit, Conor, that we
exactly
were all
getting. And I mean, the government at the height of the crisis, and let's be completely honest here, Andrea, the government knew they were facing into a general election just around the corner, so they rolled out multiple energy credits that were worth €450 or €300 to domestic energy bills over the course of a year. And I don't think it's any coincidence, by the way, that the amount of money that people are in arrears almost exactly mirrors the size of the energy credits that the government was providing a couple of years ago. So the government introduced those credits. Those credits disappeared entirely in the last budget. And a cynic might suggest that one of the reasons why those credits disappeared entirely was the government had been re-elected and wasn't facing another election for at least 4 years and probably 5 years. So they didn't introduce the credits. Now, they said, of course, and in the budget, and I'm sure there's truth to this, that it was very expensive and it was a blunt measure. And I completely accept that energy credits should not have been given to everybody. Like, I don't know about your financial circumstances, and I don't want to find out about them, but I could have paid my energy bills even at the height of the crisis. And I think a lot of your listeners were in the position that they could have paid their energy bills at the height of the crisis. So I'm not going to say I didn't welcome it,
absolutely.
I didn't need it. And I think that money should have gone to people who specifically needed it.
Well, stay with me, Conor, if you don't mind, because we want to hear from people today. If we want to talk to people about their electricity bills, has yours increased, decreased? What have you noticed? 1800 453 106 is the number. Kevin is with us on the line, Conor, as well. Kevin, what have you noticed with your electric bill?
Hi, Andrea. Good
you?
Afternoon. Not too bad at all. Electricity bills have just gone sky high over the last 2 years. Okay? I got an electricity bill there recently, inside the last 2 weeks, and I've just gone through it. And like, it's mostly arrears. Say average, say €400 on the bill. But something I'd like to point out, that like, if you break down a bill, but the bill I got 2 weeks ago, there was a flyer in it, and it just was energy savings made simple. And it's a breakdown, and it just tells you what your household appliances cost to run. Okay? And there's a list. Top of that list, the most expensive thing to run the house is a shower. And they have it down here as €3.13 per hour. Okay? So put that figure aside for a second. Now take your average family, two adults and two children, say two teenage children. The teenage children might take an average shower for a girl, say maybe 15 to 18 minutes. A boy and the two adults, say 10 minutes. Okay? So that's 48 minutes per day. That works out at €2.40 per day. Your bill is broken down to 64 days. So that's €154 per bill just to take a shower.
Just for a shower. And they're probably long showers, yeah, maybe, but I take your point, yeah.
But add on top of that, there's a standing charge that, electricity companies charge, and that works out at 80 cents per day, which works out an average bill for 64 days, an average, say, €50 on top. So for which I consider a human right to wash yourself. So just for a family of two adults and two children to wash themselves, it's going to cost €205 per bill just to wash yourself. Now, that doesn't mean turning on a light or boiling a kettle. Just to wash yourself, that's over €200
that's the kind of money
every
you're talking.
Time you get
and,
a bill.
You know, and isn't it funny, Kevin, when you hear actually, when you talk about those figures and you break them down like that, I'd say no more than myself, a lot of our listeners are maybe somewhat surprised, you know, to actually look at the details behind some of those columns that we get in the invoices from the electric companies. Do you find yourself, you know, maybe changing your behaviour, Kevin, in terms of what you do in the house and light and all of that?
Well, I have to monitor everything. Yeah. Something I feel really bad about is I'm telling my daughter now that I'm timing her having a shower, that there's no need for a 20-25 minute shower. So I feel bad now when I say to her, oh, come on, love, it's you're there 20 minutes now, you know? But I have to, because although on this breakdown that the electricity companies give you, like €3 is the most expensive for a shower, say, 73 cents for the oven. These figures are very small and people pay no attention to them until you break them down. And it's like, for somebody like myself who's disabled, and the money I get every week off the government, it doesn't cover, it's a huge percentage of my weekly income.
Yeah.
The government never gave anything to the disabled people this term. Anything extra for disabled people. Now, listening to the last caller you had on there, and I totally agree that certain people can afford it, but people in horrible circumstances that are on either social welfare or disability, that is a major burden. Major burden. And people just don't realise, because the average worker, sort of, they can get by, and as the last caller said, that they could afford it in times of crisis. But what about the disabled people and other people who cannot afford it? And the gun that's put to their head every time this bill comes in. And just may I add, on top of getting these bills, now I pick away at it every week, I pay, but I'm always in arrears. And what really irks me is I get regular phone calls from my electricity company stating that I'm in arrears and what I might like to make a payment. And I've told these people, I'm doing my best. I'm paying weekly. Every single week I chip away at it. Could be €20 to €30 every week. But I still get these calls. And I've told them, I asked them, please stop sending me, phoning me about this. And stop sending me out reminders. Every 10 days I get a reminder in the post, oh, your electricity is in arrears, we're going to
and
cut you off
engaging,
unless you pay the
as
balance.
You see, you know, it's not like you were actively, Kevin, engaging with the electric company, and you're, as you say, you're making regular payments. Like, it's not like you're avoiding this, or you're, you know,
exactly.
Burying your head in the sand.
I'm paying every single week. I made a payment this morning. So it's regular. It's like saving. Every week, if a bank sees you're saving, you're in good stead with them. It makes no difference to the electricity company. I asked them not to be ringing me every 5 minutes. I asked them to stop sending me out physical reminders every 10 days because it's a waste of paper. And I said, I'm going to just ignore them and I just don't open them anymore. For what? I just don't understand it. Like, the electricity has soared, the prices have soared so much, and to be honest, I put it down to the likes of data centres. Data centres are eating everything, and people won't realise in the next 5 years the amount of trouble we're going to be in because of the amount of electricity consumption from data centres.
You know, I think for people listening, 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number, a lot of people, Kevin, and, you know, Kevin, getting in touch, just listening to you today talk about the simple price, Conor Pope, of actually taking a daily shower.
Yeah, no, I mean, Kevin is 100% right, and you can feel the anxiety coming down the phone line from Kevin, and there are an awful lot of people in that position and they feel like they're being harassed by the energy companies. And when I hear people like Kevin talking, that it makes some of the advice that I have to give to consumers on occasion seem a little bit trite. Because I can say to people, okay, you can save 20% on your energy bills by swapping from company A to company B every single year. So, I wonder, has Kevin switched his energy provider in recent times?
No, I haven't switched at all. I just find
Kevin, if I start doing that, I feel I'll keep changing every five minutes.
Well,
here's the deal, Kevin, and I'm saying this to you and I'm saying it to all the listeners.
Yeah.
If you don't change your energy provider once a year, and it is only once a year, you're probably paying around €500 more than you need to every single year. And despite that fact, around 70% of the Irish domestic energy market never switch. And all of those people are paying more than they need to the companies. So that's the first thing I'd say to you, right? Now, it can be incredibly difficult for somebody to switch when they're in arrears, which is problematic because you have to settle up one bill before you can move to the other company, okay? But if you are ever in a position where the arrears are finally cleared and you do switch, you will save yourself £500 a year. And I can guarantee that. And I can guarantee that to every single listener out there. But we don't do it because A, we think it might be too much hassle, or B, we don't realise that the savings are out there. And it's not me saying the savings are out there. This is well-established fact. So that's one thing. Okay. In terms of the showers and stuff, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you say, like, and I have three daughters, right? So, like, if somebody spends time in the shower, 15 minutes, 18 minutes, all of that money does add up. And that's why I think it's important that all of us have a responsibility to look at that and say, okay, well, what happens if I lower the thermostat in my house from 21 degrees to 20 degrees? What happens if I dry my clothes on air dryers rather than using a tumble dryer, or if I never put on the immersion? Or what happens instead of having an 18-minute shower, I have a 14-minute shower? And all of these things seem tiny when you take them in isolation. Mm. But it's the incremental impact that they have.
That they can have. Okay.
And I think that's a really important message for people, that you do have, and I use the word advisedly here, you do have some power here to make savings, but it does require you to do something about it. And I totally agree that Kevin is doing the right thing here because he's paying it off bit by bit by bit. And the worst thing you can do is to do the most natural thing in the world, which is to bury your head in the sand and say, oh God, I can't be dealing with this.
Tell a lot of some of our texters, that is the situation for some of our texters out there. Like, one makes the point today, spare a thought for us tenants in high rentals in a build to let building forced into prepay meters with no charging to pay a bill at all. We find the prepay is actually much more expensive. Another listener's got in touch to say, we are a family of a husband, wife, an almost 2-year-old child. Our electricity bill has trebled from this time last year. Granted, we have electric heating, but we also used far more last year as well when I was off on maternity leave and the baby was so small. Now it's on for about an hour in the morning, 2 hours in the evening before the baby goes to bed. We're gone from the house 5 days a week and we received a bill of £1,048 last week. It was extortionate. How are we going to afford to live? We have a payment plan set up with the provider. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Jana's with us on the line. Jana, what's your experience?
Yeah, my experience is this. There's a green elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, but I want to talk about some statistics. The credit the government gives is really just putting a plaster on the problem. There's a much deeper problem. We cannot blame Russia. We have to point the finger here at our own government. And a number I'm going to quote is quite startling, is that there is a report that came out from the Central Statistics Office in 2024 that said that carbon tax receipts came to $1.1 billion. So $1.1 billion was carbon tax receipts. Now, in case you can't tell, I'm from America. I've lived here 23 years. In America and many other countries, they're doing away with all of this net zero because the climate alarmism and the net zero is driving our consumer energy cost up. The wind farms and the solar farms out there, all of the cost to operate those, it's in the multi-millions, is baked into our electricity, but we're not seeing the benefit from the wind or the solar.
So you think the government needs to do more, Jana, is it?
What about
the electric credit? Do you think we need to go back to something like that where households where they need it?
Absolutely, but that's a piece of salt in the ocean. We need to look at the bigger problem, which is the billions a year we're spending on this net zero the government is pushing in. I would encourage everyone to look up a group called Families Matter. There was a conference in Malahide put on a few months ago. They did a 60 slides of how our energy grid is in a major crisis.
I'm just going to, Jana, just wanted to ask you about your own electricity bills. Have you noticed an increase with them in recent months?
Absolutely.
And the gentleman,
I don't know who the man was there talking, said switch every year. We have switched every year for the last 5 years, and my bill last month was €525. And I have a four bed house down the country, but we have wood stoves for the fire. We don't have electric heat. We don't have electric showers. That's €525. I hang my laundry out on a dry day when we have those. So that the electric bills are rising. Switching every year, nonsense. It's just a plaster. Giving a little, throwing people a few scraps of breadcrumbs every month for a credit.
Okay.
That's just nonsense.
Right.
We need to look at the bigger problem,
bigger
and that's the government failed policy.
Okay.
Government failed policy.
John is on the line. John, what's the story with your bill?
Hi. Well, I just renewed with a supplier in the last week. And I do switch relatively regularly. So I would challenge Connor's assertion that you're going to save 500 every year. You save 500 incrementally once every X number of years, you know, from one supplier to another. But eventually it tapers off the potential savings. And my rates came down from about 2 cents per unit across the three different things.
Was this after you moved?
No, this was after I moved, yes. And I had moved last year and I had moved the year before. So eventually that 500 saving isn't going to be there. The other thing is I noticed on my most recent bill, and it feeds into what that lady just said, right? It said 69% of my electricity was produced by renewable means. And I'm going to assume that's probably wind or solar, but probably wind. Mm. So we have this huge portion of green produced electricity, and we have ended up with big carbon taxes, and ultimately the second, I think, most expensive electricity in Europe. So the whole thing I would argue in terms of the bill, if 69% of my electricity was produced by green means, then my carbon tax on the bill should have been reduced by 69%. Why would I be paying carbon tax on electricity produced by green? That's one thing.
Can you answer that, Connor?
Well, I mean, it is incredibly complicated. I do know that, but I have spoken to experts in the field, and the reality is that producing wind energy isn't free. It's extraordinarily expensive to do. And that is the reality of it. So I think there is this misconception amongst us, and I would include myself in that, that you think, okay, well, the greener energies, the likes of solar panels, the likes of wind energy are like, they're really cheap compared to carbon-based fuels. That isn't the case. At some point in the future, it might be the case. But I think it's really important, by the way, to challenge one element of what's being said here is that we all know that we're facing into a climate crisis that is potentially catastrophic, not just for this country, but for every single country on the planet. So I think we can't dismiss the move towards greener energies and say, oh, well, that's just nonsense. Mm. That's just costing me extra money.
I would challenge you, Connor, on that. No, sorry for cutting across you. To one extent, not that I'm denying the climate thing, but what I would say is Ireland and Europe in particular have pinned themselves to the approach to climate issues and energy production and energy sources, right? And this is, we are a percentage of a percentage of a percentage of the problem. And we are introducing and we are making standard, and this conversation on the radio today is proof of it, that fuel poverty is going to become the norm.
Yeah.
And to what end? I mean, ideally, you know, we should have a clean, green fuel with no emissions, but that is also cost effective.
Frankly,
there's only one of those, and it's the one that people traditionally were afraid of, and that's nuclear. And you just have to look to France for proof of
okay.
it. And
well,
we are now connecting
well,
to France.
We see, that, we see the figures today from the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities telling us there's 300,000 homes now in arrears. And just finally, Conor, I suppose like the big concern is that that figure could rise even further, given that that represents a 22%, or sorry, a 22,000 jump on the figures from 3 months ago.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think if we're getting back to the original conversation, that I think is the central thing that we're talking about right now. And I think that's why it's incumbent on government to do whatever is necessary to alleviate the fuel poverty that far too many people in our country are facing. And we can talk about the merits of green energy and the merits of nuclear power and all of these things at another time, because those conversations are entirely valid.
Absolutely,
and the perspectives that your listeners have are entirely
for
valid.
Sure.
But the focus right now should be on the people who are facing these really large energy bills. Well, and like your caller, Kevin, they're getting these constant reminders. They're getting these constant phone calls. That is an incredibly stressful position to be in. And it's not good enough.
This listener says, I took Connor's advice. I've switched energy provider recently. I went from 34 cent a unit to 22 cent. It was a huge difference. I always thought the government should have put the energy credit money into providing solar panels for families free of charge. The credits were just adding to the energy provider's profits, as this listener. Look, if you want to share your own story, drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, though, Jana, Kevin, and also John, Connor Pope there from the Irish Times, thanks for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.